CliffCentral.com.
I'm always gonna wanna make it move.
Don't know what that end part was. Do you like it?
It's all right.
It's all right, yeah.
That's sweet.
That's nice. Do you know what I like?
I don't know, man. You like a lot of things.
I like my Bali's news. That's what I like. That's right. Sure. So where do we start, Mubs? What do we need to know?
Well, if you were in KZN over the weekend, let us know if you felt tremors of any kind, because there was an earthquake.
Is this for real?
Well, apparently it was, Gareth. An earthquake that shook the KZN's coastal regions on Saturday, which all the clever people are saying measured 3.8 on the Richter scale. Doesn't...
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. If that happened, and I heard that there were pieces of road with huge cracks in them and that kind of thing, I never know whether these things are fake or real. So I just kind of wrote it off as being nonsense, but it sounds like it was for real.
But also sometimes not everybody feels it, because I remember a time when there was there were apparent tremors in Joburg.
Yeah.
But I hadn't felt anything, but then other people had.
Yeah, but so you were drunk that night.
No, actually, it was during the day, Gareth.
Yeah. Okay.
And I only start drinking after 6 p.m. And it was a weekday. Okay.
All right.
Initial readings indicated that the quake was located...
Like you don't get drunk in a weekday.
Initial readings indicated that the quake was located at a depth of 5 kilometers. I haven't seen any news reports of any severe injuries or people dying, right? So it sounds like everybody is okay. But the interesting thing here is that there was a massive earthquake that took place in Taiwan also over the weekend. And now people are trying to find out whether the two are actually linked. Because you know of how all the tectonic plates are connected to each other, and when there is a tremor, it moves in waves and can affect areas.
Of course I know. That's what I studied.
Well, yes, of course. So I guess, again, all the clever people are now trying to ascertain whether this big earthquake in Taiwan, which killed, and I see the number this morning is now at 35, so that was a big one. They want to see whether the two are linked, whether the reason that KZN felt the tremor was as a result of this big one in Taiwan.
I didn't think we really had big earthquakes here.
Neither do I.
You know, I thought we were okay.
I thought we were okay too.
Yeah.
But every now and again we experience tremors.
And in Durban, I mean, you know, the ones in Joburg are usually when mines collapse underground. That's usually what it is. But in Durban, of all places.
I don't know if you saw, but 2 days ago in Belfast, there was a tornado. Quite a decent-sized one.
Belfast?
Belfast.
Where is that again? In Mpumalanga or something, right?
Yes, in Mpumalanga.
And they had a massive tornado?
What, I would say medium-sized.
Okay.
But
sure.
Pretty cool.
And we're getting our fair share of natural disasters suddenly.
We'll probably have like a massive hailstorm in Joburg, just so we all equal.
Probably. Quentin says we had an earthquake in Namibia last week as well, measured 3.8 on the Richter scale. And Mike says he was lying in bed and felt the tremor. He thought it was the cat jumping on the bed.
How big's the cat?
All right, Mike. Mike was definitely drunk.
I looked around, but there was no cat. Mind blown.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never experienced a tremor of any kind. What is the rule again? What are you supposed to do in an earthquake situation?
Go under the door.
Under a table, though.
No. You would go under the door frame. Because if everything collapses around you, the door frame will be all right. Gift says, I'm in Durban. I was so drunk on Friday night, I didn't feel the quake. My head was too sore for me to care about earthquakes and other bullshit on Saturday morning. Same Gift. I'm sorry,
okay,
dude.
Gift. That's fine.
Yeah, Gift Dihole. All right. Yeah, you know what? Let's hope that this is a one-off. It's not well known that Durban is the epicenter of earthquakes, you know? Let's all calm down. Can I play you Lady Gaga doing the American National Anthem at the Super Bowl last night?
Yeah, I haven't heard any of this.
So neither have I, so this will be the first time I hear it as well, so we all get to hear it together. Here she is, and you tell me if you think that Lady Gaga is on the best form, because people were raving about her, saying how brilliant she is.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through streaming.
There she goes.
And the rocket ran low, the bomb bursting in air, gave a roof through the night.
Backing vocals by Sungrady Finn. Think. Let's rate that out of 10, and we'll start with Karpinski. Looks like he's got some comments.
I do have some comments, but initially I'll just say 7.
7. Okay. Mabs, what would you give that?
strong vocals.
Mm.
A bit overkill in some places.
Very showboaty.
But I will give her the biggest credit of all, which is that she didn't forget the words, because this is a common curse. Whenever big stars are singing their national anthems, there is that big risk.
Who can ever forget Russ Dumisani and Ard Matthews? They screwed up our anthem so badly. They massacred it, the both of them. Sia, what would you give her?
It's a 9.
Ooh. Yeah, I think it was good.
It was good.
Yeah. I'm with Sia. How about you, Flax? You like that?
I hate Lady Gaga, but that was a 10 out of 10.
Mm.
Vocals, the pitch, the tone.
Mm. Oh, okay. Excellent. All right, so we're all agreed she did pretty well.
But isn't
That's
it,
why people were raving.
But isn't it time that national anthems got a bit of a rejig?
What do you mean, Ben?
I mean, these anthems are as old as the country, right?
Yeah.
Everything has changed since a whole bunch of white guys sat together and signed a piece of paper. Like...
What do you want, Ben?
I want these anthems.
Trance?
No, these anthems
Calvin
are boring.
Harris?
Ben is going to start hashtag anthems must fall. What?
No, anthems must update.
What would you like them to do?
Singing the same crap songs. It's just,
Ben,
again.
These are the songs of the country.
Yes, Gareth, but countries evolve and people change. We need to have anthems that are representative of the people that live in this world and how the world is.
Well, considering the huge rise in the Hispanic population in America, maybe this should be their anthem. Would you like that more?
So we keep going about how the Bible's so outdated and a terrible thing to live by. These anthems should also get amended, remixed.
Well, we changed ours 22 years ago. I think we're okay. In South Africa. We've got a whole mushmash going on there.
And how cool is this? There's different languages.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay,
brilliant.
So we're setting a good standard here.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You don't like the French one?
Well, it's about cutting people's heads off.
Well, the blood running through the streets,
How appropriate is that in this day and age?
Do you like the Russian one?
That's about driving trains into the winter and having cocktails and oppressing peasants.
Do you like the German one?
Well, that's about going to war and sausage.
No, it's actually older than that. This used to actually be the anthem for Britain as well, once.
Oh, come on, so how relevant is it? This anthem was such a generic piece of crap, they use it for two countries.
It used to, originally it was, Gott erhalte unser Kaiser, unser guter Kaiser Franz. It was for for the Austro-Hungarian Emperor, Franz, not Franz Ferdinand, Francis II.
Who died
Francis
an eternity ago. And
yeah, in the 1700s. Song. It goes, Gott erhalte unser Kaiser, unser guter Kaiser Franz. Nice, huh? Isn't that lovely? See how you like that? I was putting on my most sensitive German voice. Do you like that, Sia? Look at him, he's collapsed. What, you don't like the...
It's not exactly soothing, is it? The way that you sang it.
Habsburg throne! I just looked up countries with the best national anthem.
Yeah.
We come in at number 13.
Oh, that's not bad.
Guess who takes number one?
Who?
Pakistan.
Really?
How can there be a best national anthem? What is it, the top 40?
What's the criteria?
Casey Kasem.
Did he count them down?
Yeah.
The best anthem I've ever heard was the Sri Lankan national anthem. It just sounds like Sesame Street in their language. It's like sung by...
Here is the Pakistani national anthem. Are you ready? Everybody stand to attention. Let's see if this is the best anthem there is. All right. Coming in. Oh, please. I had a better song at school. We had a school song that was better than that.
Play the Sri Lankan one. That is the business.
Really? You like that?
The Sri Lankan national anthem is such a lovely thing.
A quick translation of what we just heard. Blessed be the sacred land. Happy be the bounteous realm. Mm. Symbol of high resolve, land of Pakistan. Blessed be thou citadel?
See, again, it needs to be updated. I'm not sure that's what it's like.
All right.
What are we listening to now?
Sri Lanka. Let's go with this. See if this is any good. Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding for the respectful silence of the Sri Lankan national anthem. All right, let's go. Everybody. It's called Sri Lanka Mata. Sri Lanka Mata. Does sound like Sesame Street. And you heard this, what, at the cricket once? Wow, this is bad. All right.
And it's long. It's like 8 minutes long.
Mother Lanka, we salute thee.
Ah. All right.
Joy, this is a big word. Plenteous in prosperity thou.
Mm-hmm.
Beauteous in grace and love. Mm. Laden with corn and luscious fruit. And fragrant flowers of radiant hue.
Well, if you have to mention the corn and luscious fruit in your anthem, you really have run out of it. You know, you should be crediting the people. Flax, who comes in at number two? Coming in at number two.
Coming in at number two, India.
India.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. It's all... Are you sure that this list wasn't compiled in the subcontinent?
There's even comments about this. And this is from the top10s.com.
Okay.
Do you want to comment?
Yeah, let's... Well...
It's beautiful because the national anthem written by Rabindranath Tagore, Nobel Prize winner.
Mm.
Yes, Indian national anthem is the best and beautiful national songs in the world. No one can compare to that.
All right, let's take a listen to this. What's panpipes? Really?
The Titanic.
Yeah. Expect Celine Dion to pitch up. All right, that's shocking. That can't be the second best anthem in the world. Come on.
But now, Ben, I mean, how do you propose these things get changed and updated? Do you want to hear synthesizers instead of pipes or...
But I just think they're very outdated, and they're all one-dimensional, and they're all this patriotic tribe, which is bullshit. I mean, the Sri Lankans at least know that the hues of their flowers and the sweetness of their corn resonates with their people still. This whole bountiful land of Pakistan. You can't even play cricket there anymore because they'll shoot you.
So you mean they must be more honest?
Taliban-ravaged areas, but no, let's just talk about our plentiful bountilessness.
Alright.
Okay. Be more honest about your country. Have a song that's
This should be the Pakistan national anthem. And according to Brian, the best national anthem in the world is the Spanish one. They have no words.
Oh.
It's just music.
See, that's clever.
I think I might have that here. Let me see if I can find that for you. Here we go. Is this it? That's the Spanish anthem, all right. Adriano says the West Indies have the best national anthem. It sounds like a chilled reggae track, and every time they play it in the cricket, everyone just parties. They don't stop and stand to attention.
Well, maybe there should be national dances. That's what should happen, because these songs are so outdated, and they all sound the same anyway. But what if you have a national dance? That's better.
Josh says, good morning, Gareth Mabale Ben Flaxia. Just want to check, Gareth, what happened to the health hour this year? Does Dr. Cindy no longer work here? Dr. Cindy runs her own practice, and... she had to take over. She had one or two of her sisters who work for her left, and so she had to be very hands-on. So Dr. Cindy's on a little hiatus, and hopefully she'll return with the health hour. But we actually do have the health hour today.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Michelle Morehouse is coming in.
Yes.
So you can look forward to that one. Thank you, Josh. Michelle says the Spanish anthem is the best, no words. That's the second person who said that they like that. And did you see the tweet about the guy who was blind drunk on Friday and woke up with someone else's puppy in his home? And he had no idea whose puppy it is.
Is he the one who posted to Twitter, I was drunk last night, I think I stole this dog?
Right.
Okay.
And he's taken a picture of the puppy and said, please, if it's yours, you know.
Ew. Can you imagine what a party that was?
Wow. You have to be pretty drunk to steal a puppy. And how did nobody know this puppy was, you know, how do you do it without making a noise? It's quite incredible. What's wrong, Ben? What's going on there? Why have you moved seats? Ben has just shifted seats. I don't understand.
Really horrible to
hang on. What's the problem?
It's actually really...
Ugh.
Why is this not on? Hang on, Ben.
Okay, talk to me now.
It's actually really horrible sitting there because you can't put your legs under the table, so you've got this gap and you've got to lean forward to the microphone, and then it's just awkward.
I've got
a bit of a sore back at the moment.
Oh.
And it's just exasperating that. And anyway, here I am. Hi,
no problem. So you're right next to my buddy, and she looks very uncomfortable.
That's fine.
All right, what else is in the news? Come on.
Well, in an outrage of a different kind, you might have seen these proposals that Twitter is now making about changing the way that you... are now going to see your tweets, possible changes, which then led to a hashtag RIP Twitter, because, you know, people were like, don't do this to us.
Yeah.
Reports of Twitter changing from showing tweets in a reverse chronological to an algorithm has got most of its users in tears and overwhelming sadness.
Oh.
It reminds me of the time when they changed from the star to a heart when favoriting something.
That's right.
People actually got upset about that change. Really?
Do you know what? If Twitter's the most important thing in your universe and this upsets you and makes you cry, then I've got bad news for you. That is just about the most obvious indication that you've got nothing going on in your life and you need to find more things.
But morals aside, it just seems that Twitter's a fantastic thing which is being kind of badly run. Because every time they do something new, people are like, well, that's not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So reports suggest that the social network will scrap showing tweets that are most recent on your timeline, and then it will introduce a timeline with tweets that are most relevant or timely. That's the proposal. The reason, apparently, that most people are upset about this is because that's what Facebook does. And a lot of people were saying, but this is one of the reasons why we preferred Twitter over Facebook to begin with, is because you're not controlling what's coming up on my feed.
Correct.
So what you're going to get is, if you follow, say, a celebrity, and he's just tweeted, some annoying guy just helped me get out of my car park, that'll get retweeted 7,000 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not funny. It's not interesting. But yet, a friend of yours has something really funny to say, and it won't get seen.
Hmm. I don't like this.
Okay. Is it a kind?
I just decided.
Is it a kind of censorship?
No.
Where Twitter decides, actually, you're going to see this over anything else because this is what's more relevant?
Do you know what I hate? And I've seen them popping up now everywhere on Facebook and on Instagram especially. These sponsored tweets, these sponsored posts.
Mm.
Now, I don't mind, for example, some of them are relevant to me. But some of them are for insurance in America. Now, how's that going to help me? You know, if it's for a local hotel chain, for example, I saw one 2 days ago for a local hotel business. And I thought, okay, that's not so bad. A nice picture. And it didn't upset me. But then I see these ones for, Geico Insurance in America. And I think, these guys have got it all wrong. And surely the whole point of social media advertising or of digital advertising is that you can target your customer.
And you interact with it, sure.
And you should know that I'm not up for buying Geico Insurance, for example.
And do they not give us any option whatsoever to just mute or block things that we don't want to see? They're always going to pop up in your face.
You should always have that option, I think. And if you decide to opt out, you know, too bad. Not everything needs to be an advert. Not everything needs to be advertising.
And again, going back to the latest season of South Park, they have a whole in-depth thing about this.
Mm.
Our ads actually become people.
Yeah.
So you think you know someone, but it's actually an ad.
Imagine if C.S. Sanguine Finn was actually a walking advert.
He is.
He is.
For?
Oprah.
Beyonce.
Oprah Magazine. You are a walking click-on ad for Oprah Magazine.
And Flax then would be a walking click-on ad for Bieber and for AKA.
Yeah.
Right? Huh.
Click-on ads are the future. That's how people are generating revenue nowadays.
Mm. So rather than having to click on, just be in Michael's proximity and he'll tell you about Bieber. It's genius.
He advertises
it's
Bieber
genius how they've invented
and
Michael.
Bieber doesn't even pay you for that.
He should.
Exactly.
Bieber paid Michael's mom to create him.
Did he?
It's the creation of this of the ad.
Huh. Okay. Oh, there's someone here. That's our new doorbell. Did you hear that? Ding.
How fancy.
Very nice. All right. I think that's our guest, Fiona Snickers. She's in with her book later on. It's called Now Following You. We'll talk about that. There's some scary stories. It's a novel, but based on the kind of things that could happen to you on social media. So it's very apt since we're discussing this now with Mubs.
All right. Gareth, one thing that we can all agree on is that it's always nice to know where you could, you know, be wasting your money less so that budgeting better and that you're saving more money. And I think a lot of times, like most of us just kind of become lazy with this practice of trying to save money. So here are 9 simple things that you could be doing differently that will actually add up over the month and save you quite some change. All right. So if you are buying coffee every day, you are spending close to 500 rand a month.
Oh, you're joking.
The average price of coffee in South Africa is 23.56 rand. So imagine you get into your car, you drive to work, but you always stop at that garage before you get to your office and you always get yourself a big, you know, a large double mocha, frapper, whatever. If you are doing that every single day on your drive to work, close to 500 bucks a month that you'll be spending on that coffee. Takeaway lunches. This is one thing that we are very guilty of here in this office, is buying lunch every day.
Oh, we do. What do you do? We don't have a kitchen here that we can use for preparing stuff, and people don't bring in their own stuff often.
Well, Ben brings in his cappuccino every day of his life.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Ben is very organized.
Yeah, all of us must bring in his cappuccino, guys, because on average, you'd be spending around 30 rand a day on that lunch, depending on what you're getting, which amounts to about 600 rand a month just on your lunch. Just on your lunch, 600 rand a month.
Okay.
Drawing money from ATMs. Every time you draw from an ATM, your bank charges you withdrawal fees, right? But don't the banks charge fees for everything? Like if you swipe your card, isn't there a fee for that?
Well, you get certain deals. Sometimes you get like one of those 89 rand a month things, and then all transactions are included. It depends on your bank.
Okay, because somebody posted a picture of the different rates across the banks for debit order fees. So every time a debit order goes off, a bank like FNB charges you 16 rand.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yes, yes. And they ranked them, and I think FNB was the most expensive. And then
I don't like that at all.
No, so every time a debit order goes off, you get charged for it, okay?
Now, 16 rand, let's just call it times 5 a month. They're very conservative that you got 5 debit orders.
Yeah, well.
And we know for a fact that that doesn't cost them 16 rand to do the processing.
No, absolutely not.
If it cost them 16 cents, I'd be impressed. You know?
Another way to save money. Do you still have that gym membership even though the last time you were in the gym was 6 months ago?
No, I use mine.
Okay.
Sure, has it actually been like 5 months for me?
We've all had a gym membership or even a magazine subscription that we get little to no benefit from. So if you're not going to gym, I mean, if the last time you walked into that gym was months ago, just cancel it. Yeah. It's really...
Are you letting yourself go, Ben?
No, Gareth, I'm not letting myself go. I'm just trying different things, but I need to get back in the gym now.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean trying different things, the whole vegan thing?
Just different kinds of training, but I need to go back to heavy weights.
Okay.
Need to put some weight back on.
All right.
Oh, my God. I wish I had your problems. He needs to put on weight.
Well, that's what you say, Mubs.
My whole life, I've been needing to lose weight. I've never had to actually gain weight. Not once in my life.
Yeah, but it's a different... You can't look at it
Except when you were really, really small and you kind of... Your parents thought, you need some meat on the bone. And they never got the meat off the bone.
No. Damn it. I want Ben's problems.
Yeah, forced eating is really fun. Try it out.
You like those ducks that they force eat.
Listen, I want to speak to Bridget, who's on the line from the Prism Awards. You know, the Prism Awards PR is what it's all about. And public relations, of course, a lot has changed. In 2016, there's a lot that's different. But the Prism Awards honor all the best in PR. And on the line, we have Bridget, who's going to tell us a little bit about this. And I just want to get her on here quickly while we're busy with the news, Mubs, and speak to her immediately. Bridget, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Gareth. I beg your pardon.
No problem. How are you doing?
Can't complain.
All right, excellent.
You had all our Prism entries this year.
Yeah, now you guys are actually, the reason we're talking to you now is because you're looking for the entries to come in.
Correct.
Who is eligible for the Prism Awards?
Anybody that has been involved with a PR campaign during the 25-year fiscal. So, it doesn't matter whether you're an NGO, whether you're a corporate, whether you're a consultant, whether you're doing a campaign for charity, makes no difference. Everybody's eligible for a campaign and PR for 2015 for the Prism Awards.
Now, Bridget von Holt, you've been in PR for a long, long time. You must have seen many changes in the industry.
Well, I think the most significant change has probably been in the digital sphere.
Right.
So most of the entries, in fact, that we're getting in that we saw last year, most of them now have a digital element, a social media element. I think that's probably the most significant change. And I think the second most important change within the PR environment is the fact that public relations is now elevated and elevating day by day into a management line function. It's becoming more strategic. It's not just about having a party and getting a press release out to a journalist.
Right. And I suppose also the other thing that's going on is that everybody suddenly is involved in public relations, even if they were a private person beforehand, you know, who didn't have much to do with anything that was in the public realm. These days, everybody's in the public realm because people are on the social media, they're online, they're in digital spaces that they weren't in before.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that social media has given everybody an opportunity to have a voice, given everybody an opportunity to engage. I mean, that opinion now that people have and post on a platform is read by so many. I mean, just in your case, look how many people will read a tweet that you put out there. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the reach
it's also
now
scary.
With social media.
It's also very scary.
It's scary, too. It's managing. That's all about reputation management.
Right.
And that is part of what public relations is about, is that reputation management.
Do companies still spend a significant portion of their budget on public relations?
Well, I think that you'll find that a lot of the more significant, or the, when I say the significant, I'm talking about listed companies, the companies that are really out there in the consumer environment need public relations, because that is minding their reputation. They need to get those messages out to their target audiences. So public relations in that environment, very important. A lot of companies are still trying to understand that public relations has a place in their boardroom, has a place at stakeholder level to communicate with their target audiences. But, I mean, if you take these people like Richard Branson, mm-hmm. who use mainly public relations to build reputation, to get their messages out, public relations is key to Richard Branson. Mm-hmm. And there's so many companies like that that have built their reputation on public relations.
No, it's tremendously important. So entries close, and people have got to get those entries in ASAP. It has to be before Wednesday. And
it is by the 15th, except for the student category, which is a new category this year. We've extended that deadline by an additional week because of the university is only going back now.
And anyone who's been involved in public relations could be up for an award. All you need to do is submit your entries, and then there will be a judging panel. Have you decided on who the judging panel is yet?
Yes, we've got about 60 judges on board.
Wow.
From distant environments, from the media environment, from the corporate environment, consultants, so people that are also that are constantly and currently engaged in public relations have come on board as judges.
Well, it sounds very, very good. I'm sure that it'll be a huge star-studded event, and I remember last year's was particularly well attended and representative of many different kinds of jobs within the PR industry. I hope that this year will be no less and more successful, in fact.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Thank you, Bridget. Bridget van Holt, there we go, with the Prism Awards for 2016. And if you want to know more about that, you can head along to cliffcentral.com or just do yourself a favor and Google the Prism Awards and you'll find out a whole lot more. We'll let you know right here on cliffcentral.com what's going on there as well. And as we get closer to the actual awards, we'll start letting you know about who's in and who's not. All right, moving on with the news. What else do we have?
Moving on to Indonesia, Gareth, where in Indonesia they've made a step closer to allowing chemical castration as punishment for child sex offenders.
Oh.
This is according to the country's National Commission on Child Protection. President Joko Widodo is set to issue a regulation which stipulates a harsher sanction for anyone who commits sexual violence against children, which will involve injecting a hormone to reduce their libido and sexual activity in an attempt to minimize the chances of reoffending.
Yeah, by the way, Ben, it's not painful at all. Or it might be a little bit, but it sounds worse than it is.
Yeah, when you think chemical, you think things are burning, like acid will go onto skin. Yeah. They'll be sizzling.
In this case, chemical castration just refers to the stuff they inject into you to just stop you from being able to get an erection.
So does that mean that your member stops working for ever and ever?
I don't know. Or maybe it's just to stop your balls from producing testosterone. You know, effectively, it would just shut your balls down. Chemical castration. There's got to be better ways of being alive than being chemically castrated. And also, do you feel like a man? You know? It's like those eunuchs. You know what a eunuch is?
Uh-uh.
A eunuch is a man who, in ancient civilizations, and even some that exist today, would be castrated at birth, and they would serve, for example, in the Chinese emperor's palace at the Forbidden City. He would have only men serve him who had been castrated.
So he can't get served by men who...
have balls.
Okay.
Oh, eunuch. E-U-N-U-C-H. Look it up.
Why was this... okay.
Yeah, it's good to know.
So Malaysia and India recently announced that they also considered similar measures against repeat sexual offenders. But here's something you might not have known. Russia, Poland, and some states in the United States have long allowed chemical castration.
Well, you know, if there are worse things that could happen and there are better things that could happen. Let's be fair. I'm not so sure I'm a fan of chemical castration. I think that... all prisoners should be treated the same. And if you're a sex offender, you probably need some kind of therapy as well. It's an illness.
But if it's deterrent from interfering with children, then maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah. anything that stops you from interfering with children is a good thing. We don't want people interfering with children. Full stop. All right, Rich is here. Rich Mulholland is here. It's always good to check in with him. Your triumphal music. So, Rich, the last time we had you in here, you were all fired up. You were shot out of a cannon. You were ready to attack and to take down all the stupid political correctness, which is really your hallmark. And then the shit just kept on flying in because people chose to disagree with you on social media after that. We posted the link, and a lot of people thought it was great. A lot of people didn't like it. How did the feedback hit you?
So it started off with, it was, I guess I would say, primarily positive. Like, okay. It was for the most part, people to me. So bear in mind, what people will say to you and what people say about you is two very, very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Largely positive to me. There was one guy who, a friend of mine, who tagged me in a kind of, I think it was called the Black Industry Advertising Executives Forum on Facebook or something. And they were saying, why would we waste any time? I mean, I think the line was actually, why would we waste any time listening to white people? That was the basic thing. And I couldn't comment on that, but because I was tagged in early, I got to follow the whole conversation. And then I realized there's no point getting upset about it. It was just what it is. However, for the most part, people come up to me, black and white, and saying, dude, that was rad. I really like what you had to say. And it was definitely the segment that I've done here that had the most people coming back up to me and mentioning it and talking about it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it went all over the place. But I also think that, you know, you were saying a lot of things that weren't being represented in the media. Because a lot of people are just so scared, really.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to give a point of view. But for me, the whole thing was around just trying to find the end game. What are we working towards? And I couldn't understand how anybody saying, hey, help me find a good solution to this, could be accused of being racist and lots of ignorant. Oh, ignorant. Must be ignorant. No, I know I'm ignorant. I just want to know, help me be unignorant and get someplace.
Yeah, you're not giving me answers.
Yeah. Right. So, but anyway, it was what
all right.
It was.
Well, let's leave that one alone, because I'm sure that this week you've got something else that people can get upset about.
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to go something lighter, so I was going to do religion and Bible stories. But and I actually heard you guys mention this morning, very, very quickly, Scotland, we don't have a national anthem.
No, not really.
Like, we've got two songs that we play depending on who we're trying to piss off. Like, if we've got Flower of Scotland that we play if we're trying to piss off the English, because it's basically all about fighting the English.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Scotland the Brave, which is the bagpipes, which is just pissing off everybody else.
Because that noise is just so
that
horrible.
That noise. Oh,
fuck you guys. That noise is the most beautiful thing
that
I've
noise,
ever heard in my life.
It's like a mosquito suddenly got a harmonica.
It's like a Japanese porn star orgasming.
It's the worst sound in the world.
It is.
It really
is. Blood curdling.
If you're not Scottish, it sounds awful.
It's amazing, though, right? I guess it's like... see, now what you've done there is you've mixed them
I've mixed them both, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To me, when I hear it, is like I actually want to kill English people. I mean, it's like it brings it up.
No, it's like going to Mutai.
Yeah, start at the door. Yeah. More Scottish when the...
Yeah, it's weird, though, because I understand... It's one of those things, like, so I hate the taste of fish. And I can't fathom how people like fish. Like, I think you're fucking with me. I think the whole world is lying, and they're like, oh, we're going to one day make this guy eat fish, but he hates fish. And I feel like your taste buds must be different to mine, because there's no way you can enjoy eating fish. That's how I feel about bagpipes. How can't you like it? That is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
But, like, sure, personal taste, but bagpipes sound like haggis tastes. It's like if haggis had a sound.
No, haggis tastes like...
Full disclosure, I do not hate the bagpipes, and I actually find them very moving. And I think it's a very... it's a stirring kind of sound. I do like it.
I think if it was like a battle.
I just like pissing off Scottish
battle.
People.
Oh, yeah, listen, pissing off Scottish people should be like an international pastime. The one thing is, the reason Scottish people are generally funny is because we know that, we're shit at everything, and the world is so
it's
easy
not
to
true.
Be pissed off with
the Scots have produced more inventions and more engineers and more innovation in technology than any other geographically based group in history.
We're just horrific at sport.
No doubt. It's more about when things need to be contested. Like, individuals are amazing, incredible. Mm. Like, as in sport, and things to be contested.
Anyway, up you guys. Scotland rules. Okay.
Well, Graham says, I'm Scottish and I also hate fish, and bagpipes are fantastic. End of discussion.
Graham, Graham, you're the man.
Okay. There we go.
That is so strange. That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Culture for you right there. How something so horrible can actually be loved by someone else.
Yeah, I guess. But I guess it's something so uniquely cultural, right? Yeah. So, like everybody else, when you're playing all those national anthems, they just sound like variations of boring songs. At least ours sound Scottish. Like, even if you didn't know where it was from, if you, even with no words, people know Scottish national anthem.
That's true.
Yeah, and so we have something. What do you guys have? What I do wish we had in South Africa, by the way, very, very last bit on this, I actually wish, because I feel like we got the most politically correct national anthem ever. It really is just everybody's song mapped together. Like, fuck, who have we not upset? Like, we should throw something else in. And I kind of do wish, and I know this is just because I like the song, I wish it was Shoshaloza. Because I was once in, at a soccer match I was working at in Soccer City. And when everybody started singing Shoshaloza, I thought it was the most powerful thing I've ever heard in my life ever. It was unbelievably huge. Yeah. I thought, fuck man, this should be our national anthem.
And even the whites can sing it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We only have to know the first word and then, you're
caught up in this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anyway, so here's what I actually want to talk about today. And it was so bizarre because I thought, this pisses me off so much, I must have brought it up before. But it turns out I haven't because I had a look at the records. But Handshakes.
Yeah.
Handshakes. How have we messed this up? Right? How has this become socially awkward? Why can you not just walk out? It's almost like we have to reinvent. And it's so easy, right? To me, you have two choices. You have the single, the traditional, that's just the one shake, shake, release.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the triple, because we live in South Africa. It's, out. Now, both of those are fine. Where people start messing with it is how they lead in.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if
yeah.
a guy leads in, now you can't see, but with the hand raised up high and to the side, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? I can't reach that thing. I mean, I actually don't know. Is it like a judo move? And then because you can't come back
and
neutralize.
And it could be an aggression of violence.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could be coming in to clap you.
Well, when anyone does that to you and they lift up their hand up high, like a half high five, but it looks like it's a handshake, you must go down and say, no, don't hit me, don't hit me, and see what they do. But it's like, and then are we supposed to handshake, and at what point are we supposed to decide if we're also hugging? Oh, shit, we're also hugging.
Yeah, the half man hug is awkward.
There are a lot of guys who like doing that.
Especially when only one guy's going for it, and the other guy wasn't, and then he ends up pirouetting.
Yeah, it is so bad.
So,
you see, okay, all I can say is from personal experience, I'm not big on body contact, right? I find a lot of people very sweaty, not particularly hygienic. I'm not really too keen to spend a lot of time in their close proximity. So what I usually do is I go for the fist bump. But there are occasions where you have to just grin and bear it. Like there's some people who are going to greet you with that hug and handshake. There are going to be some people who greet you with that lingering handshake. There are going to be people who squeeze your hand until it feels like it's going to fall off.
Yeah, those are just short people.
No, but also power woman. I wanted to mention that as well, the power woman handshake.
Power
when
woman.
When you go into a meeting and they basically, you know it's coming because their nipples is pointing so far towards you. Like, and then,
power
and,
woman.
Yeah, and it's like normally when you handshake, you leave some degree of like bow leg in your arm. But the power woman is they look you dead in the face, their boobs come right out at you, and their hand is so straight, like this, and then they grab your hand and they squeeze so sore. And I think we have nothing to prove here, okay? We're totally okay, but it's that kind of feeling like I've got to give you, this is how men shake each other's hands.
The power woman.
But we don't, yeah, yeah. And it's like
so it's not like a Downton Abbey offer the four fingers.
Oh, no, I'd rather have that. I'd rather take the Downton Abbey or the Queen or whatever. It's the one where it's like, shit, look how hard I can squeeze your hand. But anyway.
Yeah, I do CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah, I do CrossFit. Here's my CrossFit handshake. But I agree. So with like what Gareth says, I actually generally just go for a fist bump as well.
Because it's minimal skin contact.
And it telegraphs so easily.
Yeah.
When you go like someone, hey man, how are you? You know what you're doing.
Right.
But I was trying to think, why do we do this? Why can't we just shake hands?
Or do what the Japanese do and bow our heads. No, we don't have to touch each other at all.
Like, a handshake is so generic. People want to show affection to each other.
That's
and
what
like,
I think, yeah.
It has to come, there has to be like that next step, you know, it's like, Michael has a big thing about being friends with celebrities. So there needs to be a cutoff, you know, like where a hand is shaken or the next step. And the next step shows your friends. So we need to know what this next step is.
That's it. So that's why we do it.
I've noticed an inordinate number of... By the way, Mabale wants to give you a power woman handshake. Yeah, you do. Come on. Admit it, Max.
I prefer breaking and crushing balls.
That's right. That's
favorite.
The power woman.
Yeah.
Wow. Fair enough. I mean, if you're going to do it properly. Commit.
Yeah.
Commit. Just go in there, skip the hand, then go psychic grab the balls and pull.
Sia, what do you
or
usually...
Or use the knee. You know, whichever one is convenient in that time.
Mubs, you're not... It's not fighting. It's it's greeting.
I'm just saying what I prefer.
Up on your high mountain, it's very difficult to get in through the door. Sia?
Peace, love, and happiness.
What do you do when you greet someone? Is it always a handshake? Or you're pretty professional.
I go on what they do.
Oh, right.
And I think that's the safest way. But as soon as they start to act all pseudo-French and they want to do the double kisses and...
Okay. Thank you. Fucking double kiss.
That
you don't
is
like that, huh?
And
when I don't do it, then they say to me, but I'm Portuguese, you have to.
Yes, but I'm not, and we don't live in Portugal, and what are you talking about?
Exactly.
They're like trying to make you feel stupid by not doing the double kiss. You're already pulling away, and then it's awkward, because then you have to come back in again, and then go for, that is a whole, see ya. that is a whole other thing. That's actually much better than my one. We should have done a whole thing on the double kiss.
So then if you were in Japan, and they were bowing, you would just stand there and be like, nah, fuck this shit.
No, I definitely bow back.
Bow's great. It's quick. It's easy. Everyone knows it's
but he doesn't respect Portuguese people.
No, if I was in Portugal or France, when I go to France, I was there with my mate at school, he's French, and absolutely, if I walked into somebody, I'd say hello, and you'd kiss both cheeks. Right. In fact, even at a French people's house, I wouldn't mind doing it. I'm just saying normal person in the street that I've not seen for ages, hey, how are you doing? Oh, the other thing on the kissing thing is, at what point... Like, how many times do you have to be with somebody before you decide we've moved? Like, so you meet a couple for the first time. At the end of dinner, are we already hugging and kissing? Like, is that a ranking system for how good the dinner is?
There are people I've never met in my life before that they're very intimate. They come in, they grab you in the small of your back, pull you close, they go in.
You're famous.
Like, no, but they go in for it. One cheek. They even try to go for the lips sometimes.
The lips freak me out.
Jesus.
No, and you know, old women do that. They think, you know what, I don't care anymore. I'm going straight for the lips with everyone. Everyone's fair game for me.
But you see, that's it, because old women are like, old people are allowed to do whatever they want, because when they drop their give a fuck, when they reach 70 and then they lose, they had their give a fuck somewhere and they couldn't find it anymore, then they're allowed to do whatever they want. Like, I long for the day. Another little thing for me on handshakes, and this is unrelated but importantly connected, is why do we teach people to sneeze into their hands? What? Somebody check on Gareth. Why is that a good thing? Hey, no. Don't spread your germs. Hold on a second. Even if you were just sneezing, like, sneeze into your elbow pit or whatever it's called, or your, like, into your corner. But, like, even if you were just to sneeze into, like, turn away and sneeze into the air, it would be more hygienic than, hey, fuck, these germ things, let me put them all over my hands and then touch people or things.
I'll go one further. Who owns a hanky still? Deportion. Like,
old men,
they must
have given a fuck.
But then it's in their pocket, so there's germs in their pocket, and their wallet goes in there, their phone goes in there, and then they shake your hands. Like, wait, let me just wipe my nose. Hanky, in the pocket, shaking hands.
You know what? It's 2016. We have tissues, you could throw them away. Yeah. Sneeze into those.
But then they wash it, and then...
Make sure that your hands are not sweaty when you greet someone. That's
do the rub. Oh, the other one, I mean, the one is, when you have to apologize, and this is really awkward, though. This sometimes just comes up on you. You've just left the toilet, and you've washed your hands, and then you see someone, and you're like, perfect use for the elbow or the fist pump or something. Yeah, this is what they're for. Anyway, I think we've bled this dry. But
no, here's some more comments.
Okay.
Veinant says, what about Afrikaans tunnies and kissing? They love to kiss.
All tunnies, hey?
Yeah, all tunnies. I think this is a universal...
All grandmothers love to kiss.
Mm.
Yeah,
they've got a lot of saliva as well.
you don't think about grannies as well, but I guess it's a woman in general. This could be a whole other thing. When people come in and then they've got the lipstick on their teeth, grannies specifically have it a lot.
Andrew says, there's nothing worse than a man, especially in the Indian community, where they shake your hand with the limpest non-squeeze handshake.
Andrew,
would you prefer a power woman or a limp?
Power woman. Trump, if there was a game like rock, paper, scissors of handshakes, power woman would always beat limp man. Right? I mean, that's a life rule in general.
Caitlin says, I have permanent anxiety about the hello and goodbye hugs and kisses, especially when seeing colleagues out socially. It's the worst.
Oh, you never know what's
going on. Yeah, because at work, you would say, hey, but then you see them out and then there's the need to hug. Like, why? Why is this now a thing? Mm. Yeah.
Roman says, I only double kiss good-looking ladies because I am French, so it isn't cultural appropriation. And Carl says, I refuse to give that half handshake jock shake. I put my hand out first just to make it clear.
That's it. Telegraph. You gotta you gotta lead. Someone has to take control of the situation.
People tend to hug as a greeting now, says Nicole, which is just getting weird. There's a lot of hugging, you know?
Yeah, and I guess what it is you're actually ranking, right? That's what you're doing. So if I've just met you, we go for the traditional, hey, because that traditional handshake is could almost be called now the nice to meet you, right? Or right. Business appropriate.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if we meet somebody in a different environment, we want to show, it's kind of to Ben's point, that they're closer to us. So we do some kind of weird one, like, you know, and then there's these weird, like, invented ones. And, like, why would you think I would know that one? You come in with your half in a claw, and then I'm supposed to grab it, and then you pull away on my fingers, and you click your fingers on the side of my hand, and then we high five, and then the next minute we're like rubbing our testicles against each other, and I didn't even know how that happened. I don't understand the rules. So to me, I guess whatever happens, someone has to telegraph. Like, somebody's got to own. That should be the rule. Walk in, telegraph what you're doing. I wish it was a word. You like just one. Okay, good. I know what a one is. We're going for a three. Okay. Anyway. Cool, guys.
All right, Rich.
That's it. Have a fantastic week. I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you, man. Lots of people commenting about this one. You can call us, too. Patricia is Portuguese. She says, listening to the CliffCentral.com show, and yes, the Portuguese do the double kiss, but would you rather have the Afrikaans kiss on the lips? No. Hashtag gross.
No. Oh, and this all gets worse in winter, huh? When people have the sniffles.
I don't know. I think it's almost as bad in summer when people are hot and sweaty. Betty Swallocks. All right. Listen, when we come back in a moment or two, we're going to speak to Fiona Snickers. She's written a book called Now Following You. It's a novel. But I think there are probably things about this that we could all relate to in the age of social media. So we'll speak to Fiona in a moment. Here is a clip that I wanted to play for you. Larry David, you know he co-wrote Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
He's the star of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You in 20 years.
Probably. Anyway, you know, Larry David, he looks a bit like Bernie Sanders. Have you noticed? So he got Bernie Sanders on Saturday Night Live, and they did a sketch together.
Cheers.
Called Burn Your Enthusiasm, which is about Bernie Sanders and his run for the presidency. Are you ready? Take a listen to this.
Hold on, wait a second.
Oh, they're on a ship, by the way. That's the prelude. So it's sort of like they're on the Titanic, and Bernie and Larry David are looking over the side of the Titanic.
Hold on, wait a second. I am so sick of the 1% getting this preferential treatment. Enough is enough. We need to unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
Democratic socialism.
What's the difference?
Huge difference.
Huge?
Huge.
Huge with a Y, eh? Who are you?
I am Bernie Sanders Witzke. But we're going to change it when we get to America so it doesn't sound quite so Jewish.
Yeah, that'll trick him.
Hold on, everyone. I've got great news. What we crossed into was Liberty Island. We're in New York. Everyone off the boat.
Yeah! Look at that. Hold on, wait.
All right, there we go. That's the basic idea. You like?
I didn't realize that the two of them look...
they look very similar.
Because how old would that make Larry David then? Because Bernie Sanders is like 210.
Yeah, Larry David's old.
Like, I don't think either of them will be running a 100-meter sprint anytime soon.
Hey, Bernie Sanders is killing Hillary at the polls at the moment. He looks like he's looking like the most likely person to win New Hampshire.
Is it true that he was once on welfare?
I don't know. Don't know about that.
Because we're getting to that stage now where we're close enough to the actual elections where the real dirt comes out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Up until now, there was some name-calling, but then all of a sudden it's like, you know, he touched a donkey or he has a Spanish child or, you know, all the big dirt starts to come out of it now.
Well, there's a Hillary Clinton campaign song that has finally come out. Do you want to hear it? Here it is. This is the Hillary Clinton official campaign song.
At first, I was dismayed. I was horrified. I should have won 2008 by a landslide. But then I spent so many nights thinking how Obama did me wrong, and I grew strong. And I wrote this comeback song, and now I'm back. Gonna own the place. Oval is mine now. I've started measuring those damn drapes. Gotta change that front door lock. Secret Service, take away your key. Gonna break through that glass ceiling. Gonna make some history. Go on now, go! Walk out the door. Might as well resign now.
Do you hear the laugh?
They don't want you anymore. They've gotta vote for me, though I haven't told them why. But you know I ain't humble. I ain't beyond a lie. No, no, not I.
All right, you get the basic idea. And while we're talking about politicians, Mugabe made the most bizarre speech ever at the AU. I don't know if you heard this. I mentioned last week that we would play it for you, and we never got round to it. Do you want to hear it now?
Yeah, okay.
All right, here's Mugabe up at the podium at the AU. Only the people, about half the people in the room, the rest had fallen asleep, and about five people in the rest of the world who gave a damn.
The headquarters is actually of the United Nations. Is misplaced. Where do you have most of the people? You have 1.2 million people, billion, I mean 1.2 million people in India, 1.3 in China, and Africa, we are getting to nearly a billion also. Now put us together, just these three. And then put those with the white faces and pink noses. Put them together against us.
He's met a lot of drunk white people with white faces and pink noses.
Or maybe they just had a cold.
Who's that face? But you hear how he's doddery?
Sage. Right?
He's not. I mean, he sickles and he struggles through this.
In China. Yeah. And Africa, we are getting to nearly a billion also.
I mean,
now put us together, just these three.
Yeah.
And then put those with the white faces and pink noses. Put them together against us. How many are they, even man to a man? And do we allow that group should continue to harass us in our independent countries?
He's definitely losing it. He's a very old man now. He's in his 90s, for heaven's sake.
But he also seems to have that sort of canned laughter that Jay-Z has when he says stupid things in the background.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that they have to humor him by laughing, and, you know. I mean, this is the AU, and they do kind of look up to him. He's an elder statesman, and, you know, he's this guy who's really lived through a lot. And I suppose he's got a formidable mind, even though it's slightly addled by age. I don't know. I just find, like, it's sad to see someone deteriorate like that. And that's why Bernie Sanders should not be president of the United States. That was the whole point. That was the reason I played that. Because it's only a matter of time before he starts sounding like that too. Just quickly before we move on to our interview for the morning, I did think it was a good idea. This is a guy reacting to his girlfriend nearly being hit by a car. Listen to this.
Hey baby, slow down, wait for me.
Oh, by lightning, sorry. I saw this, yeah. I thought, why does it say a car? This guy, first of all, you really will struggle to understand him. He's Australian. Ben, maybe you can try and translate, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Right, here it is. His girlfriend almost gets struck by lightning, and he starts shouting and screaming. But before that and afterwards, you have to try and translate for us, Ben.
Hey, baby, slow down. Wait for me.
OK, Okay, my love, would you mind holding on a second?
Oh, wow, it's pretty rocky here, hey? I'd slow down on the rocks, baby. It's dangerous out there.
You should probably slow down. It's rather unsettled underfoot. I want a burrito.
It's dangerous there.
I'd slow down on the rocks, baby. It's dangerous out there.
Okay. Here comes the lightning strike.
Oh my God, baby, the bloody lightning bolt just missed you. Oh, the bloody mother of God.
The lightning bolt will seem to have struck you. You are now a lot prettier, and I might want to marry you after this.
No, you didn't say that. You're making the last bit up.
I just missed you. Oh, the bloody mother of God. Jesus fucking my God, baby. Come back, the lightning bolt nearly hit ya. Oh my God, baby, you alright?
Hey, you alright? I want to marry you.
Alright. How's that Australian accent, though, huh?
It's like he's just got a ferret in his mouth the whole time.
Isn't that guy great? All right, when we come back, Fiona Snickers will join us. It's called Now Following You. That's her book, which is out at the moment. We'll find out all about that and all about the scary part of social media. You know, the stuff that they don't tell you. That, not just making friends. When someone says they're now following you, is that something you should be worried about? I think there are probably lots of lessons in this for all of us. That's coming up next. 0861-555-189. You can call us anytime you want. You can tell us what you're up to. And we would love to hear from you. Blah, 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 blah. And we've got the lineup for the rest of the day that I've got to tell you about, too. So don't go anywhere. That's all coming up in a short while. Peace and love. Peace and love. CliffCentral.com.